Morning, Ireland. It's 12 minutes to 8. I'm just slagging Joe Duffy here about Evan O'Rourke's compliments about his style because he's walked into studio in his fetching waistcoat, shirt and tie. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Good morning, Kianni. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
I don't know what all this hillabaloo is about. As the captain said in June on the bell, what's all this hillabaloo in a tenement house about?
And did you hear the lady in Ballyfermot earlier in the programme in Aaron McElroy's report? She's on the night shift, but she's setting her alarm to get up early to hear your last show.
Okay. And I'm very conscious about radio and the importance of radio and the sense of community that was very strong during COVID. And it will go on. It will go on. Like, Liveline's on today, but it's on Monday as well. It's on Monday.
In your 27 years on Liveline, though, that is one thing you really brought to it. And I want to talk a little bit about that, the democracy of Liveline. Mm-hmm. Because if I had a penny for every politician who said to me, that Joe Duffy fella and that Liveline programme, they thought it was the bane of their lives. But I think it was really important. It was a place where people who didn't have big lawyers or lobbyists could go.
I was conscious of that. I've never been in the Dáil Bar. I don't think I like politicians, but I've never been that close. But I understand the power of politicians, and more so, I think I know people were talking earlier about the closure of the head shops 2010. I was Christmas 2009. I was walking down Talbot Street late one night, and I saw this queue at a shop at a window, like you'd seen a petrol station, and it was a head shop. And Anya, I hadn't a clue what a head shop was. I hadn't a clue. And I asked people, what are these guys selling? And they were basically drugs they were selling, let's be blunt. And I mentioned on the first day back in January on Liveline, and we discovered within 2 days, there was over 100 head shops thriving in Ireland. Thriving. And then people start ringing in about the effects of this. Yeah. We didn't know what they were selling. Unregulated, unbelievable, making massive, massive profits. But then, come May the 10th at 2 o'clock, Brian Cowan, who was Taoiseach, Mary Harney, in fairness, Minister for Health, and Dermot Ahern, Minister for Justice, the three of them at 2 o'clock on May the 10th, 2010, they raided every single head shop in the country and shut them down at the one time. And that's the power of politics. I know it's the power of people on Liveline bringing it to people's attention. This was going on everywhere.
But the other thing that's interesting about that, and again, that was another feature that you brought to Liveline, it wasn't just stories. You stayed with the story because there were several legal challenges and so on. And we've a clip actually we want to play here. This is from 2015, and Paul Hodkinson rang in to talk to you about the death of his brother Colin.
Colin.
Let's have a listen.
He was a very happy-go-lucky guy, and you know, the circumstances around his death, it was just a bit of a crazy situation how he was actually allowed to buy these mushrooms. He actually consumed 3 or 4 psilocybin mushrooms, and within 15 or 20 minutes he had, I suppose, he'd run up onto the roof of his apartment block and he'd vaulted himself off the side of the building from seventh floor building.
My God. And your family believe Colm's death was not the only one because of these?
Well, yeah, I mean, when we kind of, I've read a few inquests kind of subsequently to that where, you know, head shop products were certainly involved and they're certainly to blame. And, you know, definitely, and in the UK as well, there was an awful lot of deaths contributed to them.
And the head shop campaign on you was the only time, and all the things we've done over the years, thanks to the listeners, where I was physically threatened. I was physically threatened twice, once in an underground car park by a guy who obviously owned a head shop and was out a lot of money. And another was I was spat at on Gardiner Street by another head shop person. But I was trying to be, that's my job, is trying to be mediator. But on the head shop thing, I did get very passionate. Now, I couldn't go on any of the protests, but what I can say, there was a plan then to open another. They were growing bigger. Plan to open a head shop in Clontarf. Obviously, I couldn't go on the protest, but I painted every single placard that was used on that protest that day, saying, poison, stop these legal highs, as they were called.
And that's the thing. It was personal. So much was, and that was honest, and people heard that. And, you know, when Susie Long came into your life, when she rang Liveline, and we'll play a clip now, the friendship you two it developed. Let's have a listen to Susie briefly here.
But today when I heard
that a very nice man who was in the same, if not worse, condition than me when he went to his GP is going to live because he had private health insurance, and I'm going to die because I didn't. I had to bite my tongue. I'm happy he's going to live. He deserves to live. But so do I.
What generosity in that. Mm-hmm. Saying that about that other man. I'm happy that he's going to live, but I'm going to die because of the two-tier health system. It's just a stone. Tears from a stone, Susie, Rosie, as we called her. She wanted to be called in those days. It's just, that's the voice. It's the voices on Liveline. The less I talk, the better, I find. Yeah. The less I talk, the better. It's the voices of the callers. And it's a privilege. And still that media in Ireland generally, and I include News Talk and Virgin and TG Cahir and all the wonderful newspapers we have, provincial, national. We are still trusted. In the main, we are still trusted, unlike other countries. And we, you know, the End of the Times, Society Examiner, and so on. They're all part of our daily discourse, which is great.
Yeah.
And I just hope that continues.
You said the less you talk, the better, and it's about the listeners calling in. But your Dublin accent was an issue. There was prejudice about that, wasn't there, at the start of your career? You had to fight hard for the Brits.
Oh, and you remember when I came in here first, I came in almost accidentally. I was a probation officer. I was interested in becoming a producer, and then I accidentally became a reporter with Gay Bourne when mobile phones, I think it was the first to use a mobile phone on air. If I had announced the death of Eamon de Valera, Eamon de Valera wouldn't have believed it, because I didn't do my THs. I was what they know as a Dublin working class accent. Yeah. And I got letters. But anyway, on we go. And
was the snobbery from management, or was it from people calling in or whatever?
I think the green ink letters might have been internal. There wasn't many of them. And Gay was just such a supporter, you know, such a supporter.
You two had a real connection. And Gay was a very private man. Not many people got close to him.
He was very private. And we bounced off each other. He used to give out to me when he retired. He used to text me on Liveline giving out to me. Why did you ask that stupid question? Or why don't you ask him this, that and the other? So I don't know. Was I the son he never wanted? I don't know. And he used to give out. Anyway, but he was so, so, so supportive. And he was so intense on people pay our wages. People trust us. Keep it that way. Stop on the street if people want to chat to you. What's the big deal? Just stop, enjoy. And I do like meeting people. I do. And I do like being on the Lewis and talking to people, and being on the 130 and talking to people.
You've kind of been, in one way, or an activist in all the time I've known you, whether it's student politics, the probation service, RTE through Liveline, and all your other work. That's not going to stop, even if you're not on air on Liveline, is it?
Well, I hope not. You know, I'll be kept busy. Like 3 o'clock today, I'm heading straight to the airport. Myself and Syl Fox are. Syl is actually out in the Talla bypass trying to find an abandoned supermarket trolley, because we're page boys at the Jeff Bezos and Lauren says, so we need something to bring.
She's
the ring up.
27 outfits, Joe. I hope you bring in a change of clothes.
So we hope to make it in time. Me and Syl.
We had a man and a woman in Aaron McElroy's Vox Pop earlier from Ballyfermot, but they both want you to tip down the road to the Auras.
I know. I can see the Auras from Claddagreen. I'd say that's the closest I'll ever get to it.
There's a lot of speculation about it. Have you been asked?
No, I haven't. And even if I'm still a part of RTE until Monday, effectively. And I will not lose the run of myself. There's some great names been mentioned so far.
Your books, Just Joe, Children of the Troubles, Children of the Rising, more there?
I'm definitely. I wanted to do a book on the history of corporate punishment in Ireland, which we did for about 3 weeks on Liveline recently. Just the stories are just horrific, beyond horrific, of corporate punishment, and it's been ignored. But even what went on in schools, when it was illegal, by the way, Corporal punishment was abolished in France in 1890. It was abolished in Russia, believe it or not, in 1914. It was abolished here in 1972, but it still went on. It was allowed to be administered in certain rare circumstances by the principal of the school, and could not be administered for homework or not being able to spell. But it was going on. It was rampant in our schools. And the methods, the imagination. I remember one man talking about he was made sit in a wire rubbish basket in the corner of the room. He's made sit in it, Anya, and obviously his age, you would sink lower and lower and lower into the basket, and the wires of the basket would bite into his back. Who comes up with that form of punishment in a classroom?
A lot of people won't know about you is you're a great man for sending lovely cards and paintings. Yeah, and we've all had those over the years.
We have indeed. Yeah. And that lovely art, Joe.
We miss that.
I like art. But the reason I did it on Liveline is it's a privilege for people to ring Liveline. They don't get any payment, as you know. And the only thing I have is their name. I don't have their address. That's our great staff have the address. So I just started this thing 10, 15 years ago of sending them a cards and really appreciated putting the Liveline number on it, of course, so they ring in again and again and again. But that was a joy. That was a joy. And remember, in here we've a great staff. All as the JFK once when he was visiting NASA, trying to put a man on the moon, and they're all lined up. The generals, the astronauts, and then he went over to this chap who had a sweeping brush. And he said to him, what's your own name and what do you do? And he said, Mr. President, I just sweep the floors. And JFK said, no, you're putting a man on the moon. And everyone in every media organisation and what they do are trying to provide a service to the people of Ireland, who are great, great people.
Your mammy said you just answer the phones. We miss you answering the phone. Looking forward to this afternoon, Joe. Okay. Thanks a million.
Good to meet you, Margaret. Good to meet you, Margaret. Anya and Mary. Phone.